Wildtalkradio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket.
Pipe Bomb.
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
Jackie Feist.
You want to see the text message my little sister Shalene sent me last night? Here it is. OMG, Kevin Nash, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Having a little back and forth at the moment.
Okay, Tim, you did this to us on Thursday when Lindsay and I were trying to do our show and you were keeping rock.
No, we need
our producer.
I was doing okay with the music. I was enjoying the music, actually. that's why I kept it going a little longer. But no, we're arguing back and forth like we always do because I built the website and this is the show that's on the website. This is the WTR
Raw. God's sake.
This is the WTR Wild Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com across the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am Sorokin, joined by Jackie Feist.
Hi.
We will be, in some fashion, joined by Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Chatroom says hi.
Chatroom says hi. Kane's Kitten says hi. So, since it's not going to be the squee this week... What is her
You'll find out when we get there.
I don't even get a clue or anything?
No.
Okay. Well,
that's the whole part of the charm. It's going to be something you're not going to expect when you hear it.
Oh, God. I'm a little bit scared now, actually. Okay.
We were hearing from Lindsay via the email box. If you like to email us anytime, it's media@wildtalkradio.com. We will get your emails.
Media@wildtalk? Okay.
Yes.
Making sure.
Yeah, it's easier to give that one out than, you know, tell them to say rockandsock@wildtalkradio.com. It's easier to say media, and no one would screw it up.
Oh, let me guess, because people are sending you to Rock and Sock, and
right. If you just hear it, like, fast, it's like, oh, how do you spell that again? So let's just go with media@wildtalkradio.com. You can send us emails there. You can tweet us @wildtalkradio, like, @wildtalkradio, as you do all night long on Twitter. Apparently, I'm being told that we have something to promote. All right, come on, as I'm shilling things before we start the show. Come on, Tim. Hurry up.
Oh, God, Tim.
Hurry up. He says...
At least he's listening to this show. Last week he didn't listen to the rat show like halfway through.
Come on, Tim. Come on. Type faster. Anyway, if you'd like to be a part of the show, you can also call in 267-297-1397. We will take your calls as well. I'm not starting with him. You're starting in the chat room. That's your business. Apparently I'm not allowed to do that. I've been muzzled.
What do you mean you've been muzzled?
I've been muzzled.
Tim muzzled you?
Yeah, we're, you know, muzzled.
Why are we muzzled?
Because we're not allowed to talk about him when he's not around, apparently. I'm not allowed to talk about him.
You're not allowed to talk about him when he's not around.
No, you're not allowed to talk about him when he's not around anyone. Okay.
Well, you know, as my mother told me, if you don't have anything good to say,
you don't say anything at all. So, Ty Stein will be posting one of his rare and insightful opinion columns on the WTR website in the next 2 days regarding Scott Hall and others. Let me repeat, Ty Stein will be posting one of his rare and insightful opinion columns on the WTR website in the next 2 days regarding Scott Hall and others. Before he corrects that, I'm saving that. That is what it says. Ty Stein will be posting one of his rare and insightful opinion columns on the WTR website.
Yes, I'll even read it verbatim again. Ty Stein will be posting one of his rare and insightful opinion columns on the WTR website in the next 2 days regarding Scott Hall and others.
Yes, I need to stop being an asshole. Asshole.
What's an asshole?
I don't know.
This is when you happen and you get old and you get arthritis and you can't type.
No, this will be him blaming the keyboard. Remember, it's the keyboard's fault, not his.
The keyboard's fault. The microphone's fault.
Oh, he's going to kill me tonight. He's going to kill me tonight.
If he can catch you, he's old.
Not picking on you for anything else, but your spelling mistakes, Tim. Sorry, I can do that, right? No? Apparently, no. Hashtag island? We want? By the way, think I'm, you know, not talking about Raw for a reason? That's because I'm not. Because there's not that much to talk about, so we're trying to give you some entertainment before we start the show fully.
That's yeah, all. It's kind of unfortunate for us that during the time when there's not a whole lot to say, we're only two-thirds of our usual selves, but, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll get by.
We will. Hi, Lindsay.
Oh, my God. I'm not getting involved with the chat room. I'll behave to him, okay? Okay, you got that? You happy? I'll behave.
What does that say? I can't read it. Tim, hashtag Tim Stein's depends, what?
That's Jackie Feist. I did not. I'm staying out of it. I was only reading your words, not anyone else's. Anyway, Raw.
Sorry.
I'm done, Tim. I told you. I'm done. I told you.
I'm just reading what is quite clearly in the chat room.
I'm done, Tim. I promise you. I'm not in the mood tonight, too. I've had a rough day. So let me vent.
Yeah, Tim, despite having come up in the American school system, I can read, and I quite clearly see it says hashtag Tim Stein's depends, and then Kane Kitten says, I'll say it, I can outrun the old man.
All right, Tim, I haven't had the greatest of days, so leave me be, will you, sir? Thank you. Let me do my show. Thank you. Mark Henry got the jobber intro.
Yeah, total jobber intro.
Like, I'm sitting there.
Not even. I mean, it's just like. Not only did they not show him coming down, but he just got totally overshadowed tonight.
It's like, hi, Mark Henry.
It's like, oh, there's an opponent. Oh, it's Mark Henry. Hi, I didn't see you there.
Yeah, like, where did he come from?
The only human being I've ever seen that looks like a great big piece of chocolate cake, I swear. But yeah, dude totally got smacked down by, total jobber entrance, poor dude.
That being said, the CM Punk versus Mark Henry match was pretty good.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I think is really unique about Punk is that Punk, no matter who he's with, seems to work real well. Like, most wrestlers have their preferences, that, you know, they like to work with this person or that person, but he works real well with anyone.
And that's what shows you of a great wrestler. That's his ability to, he can work with anyone, no matter how big they are.
Right.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. He can work with Brock Lesnar. Internet, just saying. Anyway, with that being said.
Lindsay!
Nice match. Punk and Henry had nice intensity. Fantastic elbow drop with the chair. Crowd was totally digging Punk. And clearly in this match, we found out, this is my comment, by the way, the Yes chant is still alive and kicking.
One thing about the crowd reacting to Punk tonight, you kind of see the same thing happening with Daniel Bryan. Clearly, the crowd was behind CM Punk tonight. I mean, there was nothing else that, quite clearly. But they started heckling him when Chris Jericho started talking. They were chanting CM Drunk. And then they went right back to cheering for him again. I'm like, wow, these people are fickle.
It's England. What else do you expect?
That's what I was telling Rock before the show opened. These are soccer people. And soccer fans are fucking rabid. Somebody will... I mean, I was expecting by the end of the night for the whole arena to just burst into a riot.
They like their football?
Yeah, their football. Yeah, and you know, I'm so over soccer. My ex-boyfriend was... He's American, but he was a total soccer fan. And I was like, oh my God. Over soccer.
Post-match segment basically was Chris Jericho interrupted, announcing that his Extreme Rules match with Punk will be a Chicago street fight.
Right, right. And then Jericho totally pulled a woman. He talked shit, and then as soon as it was someone else's turn to talk, he left. Women do that. I won't deny it. I won't deny it. You will sit and listen to everything I have to say, and then as soon as your turn to talk, I'm done.
To which Lindsay says, I will mark if there is any reference to Al Capone's vault. By the way, I thought Punk's father was dead. That's what she said. Incidentally, Jericho's footage of Punk going into the bar isn't that damning. Pubs in Britain are so food. As Punk pointed out, show him with beer in his hand, and then we'll talk.
Right, and I think they were kind of banking on the fact the American crowd would not know this. I mean, a pub is basically a bar around here. So I think that they seem to base a lot of things on, you know, the fact that some people don't know stuff. Like when they charged Sheamus a $500,000 fine for kicking a referee.
Right. And, you know, if you don't want people to know there's food in the pub, don't show the sign that says food. In nice,
just saying.
Bold lettering right outside the bar.
I mean, how much would it have cost to get a production assistant to, like, turn that sign around or cover it up?
It's chalk. It was chalk. Just wipe the chalk off. That's all it was. It was chalk. Just wipe it off and then, you know, have them, you know, write it back on for them. It's taking you 2 minutes. It's not that hard. It's chalk. Get an eraser. Wipe it off. Rewrite it. That's all. Today's specials are, and then, you know, whatever. Then, after that, anyway, just to point out, Chicago street fight, really? That's what they're doing?
And, you know, I'm kind of wondering, since they're making such a big deal, I mean, it's always a big deal when they're in CM Punk's hometown. And CM Punk has been pretty lucky about getting over in his hometown, which is amazing because very few people do. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jericho win this one, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
We keep saying Jericho was lucky in his hometown. CM Punk, I mean, is lucky in his hometown. That happened once. If you remember, the 26th of December, CM Punk wasn't so lucky in his hometown. It was the first of 5 losses to Dolph Ziggler. Yeah.
The fact that he even won once in his hometown makes him lucky. I mean, for God's sake, they made Beth job to Kelly Kelly in her hometown. They bury people in their hometown. That's what, you know, Lindsay and I said, well, what I've said, is that the reason why Undertaker is undefeated at WrestleMania is because they've never had it in Death Valley.
Moving along from that, because we'll probably get into more of the stipulations on Thursday on the rack. We have more time to discuss things and have a third and have a debate and stuff like that. We go backstage to Sherlock Truth and Jimmy Watson? Little Jimmy Watson?
Yeah, that was special.
to quote Lindsay, facepalm.
Head desk. And bless your heart.
I get what they were trying for. It didn't go over well.
Well, if they're looking to just start the rumblings that they're going to put him back in his position, okay, hopefully this was the beginning to that, and it's something that's actually going to happen sometime soon and not be something that's going to be drug out meticulously for months and months and months.
It's going to be drug out for months and months and months and months. Because they have no idea what they're doing with them. Plus, they have 3 hours next week of Raw, and they have no idea what they're doing. Usually, there's some sort of, gimmick to it. No, it's just a 3-hour Raw special, but,
Sounds like Kitty wants to get her opinion in, too. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And have they announced anything for next week yet?
Yes.
Besides the fact that it's 3 hours?
A very special contract signing.
Ooh.
Between Brock Lesnar and John Cena. That's about it. But we'll get there. That's mentioned later. But up next, the United States Championship is on the line. The man of five jerseys, Santino Marella, takes on David Otunga.
Yeah. That was the best Mick Foley cheap pop impression I've ever seen.
I wouldn't call it on Foley level, because Foley never would come out with the jerseys like that or anything.
Well, no, it was never a jersey, but it was a cheap pop one way or the other.
Well, yeah, I still, this is not on a Foley level. Foley knows what he's doing. Santino, it got over the crowd.
Eventually. Once he found the right shirt.
He was smart, though. He wore about seven, I don't know. I lost count after, three. Something like that. But, yeah, Santino Marella retains the United States Championship.
Sweet.
Finally, we get a solid match out of Otunga. He was only mildly nauseating tonight. Nice to see Santino get the win, even if he was a tease with the soccer jerseys. Hashtag Funky Cobra Santino for tag champ. Santino is champ as well. There's not much really you could say about this one. It was, Santino and Otunga. Not much is to expect it. Up next, we had a backstage segment with Lord Tensai. And he talked. Yeah, well.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Rock. And I realize it's only been a few weeks, but I'm not really feeling this character. I'm sorry. When you had someone who was such a recognizable presence during his time in the WWE and then bring him back like this, I just don't feel it for some reason.
I'll get into it later. I have something to say, and I'm going to save it till we get to it later in the show. That doesn't really mean what they did. Anyway, moving. By the way, who gives a crap was her thoughts. Then we had the Brock Lesnar tell-all controversial interview. I thought this was well done. It was different. It had an MMA-style feel to it, the ones they do on the UFC countdown shows. It's different than what they're producing with any other superstar. They're making him seem different than everybody else. I liked it.
I liked it, but to be completely honest, I would have preferred that he come back with Heyman.
Yeah, well, Vince doesn't like Heyman, so we're kind of screwed there.
Right. But, I mean, just in general, because of the manager thing. But for what it was, I agree with you. It was good.
They're making him stand out differently than everyone else on the show, which is what they need to do. He's not, as he said, he's not a superstar. He's a ass kicker.
Yeah, and then just the only thing that really came to mind when I saw that is he says he doesn't care about the fans. Dude, when your t-shirts, if they don't sell the way they're supposed to, you'll see how much you care about the fans.
You don't care. Do you see his t-shirts? They have sponsorship on them. He's okay.
They have sponsorship on them?
Have you not noticed?
No, I don't. I'm not. I'm enjoying his storyline, but I'm not really big enough on him to notice his t-shirts.
Next time you look at the back of his t-shirts, he's the only wrestler in history that actually has into his contract, he can put sponsorship on the back of his t-shirt.
But who's the sponsor?
I don't know. No one big. But there's like two sponsors on his shirt, and they're also on his trunks that he's going to be wearing, his MMA style trunks.
Wow. Now, here's WWE would not have agreed to that unless it benefited them some way financially, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It got written into his contract, apparently, that he's allowed to do it, which is a first. First superstar in history to allow sponsorship. So, yeah, take a look at it for next time you see Brock, which you'll see next week. There's sponsorships on his back of his jersey, shirt, whatever you want to call it. Lindsay says, who gives a crap? Lesnar is living proof that money can buy neither class or manners. So basically, doesn't give a crap. Anyway, moving right along. Up next, woo, 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 Zack Ryder came to the ring, and then I'll let Jackie explain.
Oh, it was just awesome. Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about it. Was there a finish to that match?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was great, but I was like, I saw Kane go over the top rope onto the floor, and I was like, wait. So technically, as much as I love Kane, he should have been counted out. Because wasn't Ryder still in the ring?
Did the bell ever actually ring? Think about that.
I guess that was just an assumption. I don't recall hearing it, though, now that you mention it.
I only caught part of it. I didn't see the whole thing or hear the whole thing. But yeah, I don't remember hearing the bell.
Did anyone in the chat room hear the bell?
We never had the bell ring to start, King Kim says.
Well, yeah, then I guess it wasn't a count out. But yeah, that was kind of like, really? I mean,
whose cornflakes did he piss in?
Who, Kane or Zack Ryder?
Zack Ryder.
Oh, well, we've been talking about this forever. I mean, we all know what happened with Zack Ryder.
I know, but it needs to be mentioned. He pissed in some of his cornflakes, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going over so well for him at the moment.
No, it's not. I'm not going to complain about it this week, though, because I can't ask Kane.
Kane destroyed Zack Ryder, pretty much, for those keeping track at home. Nice to see the return match 2 months after the fact. Kane must have been in a pissy mood, as me, since he decided to kill Ryder yet again. Nice promo about Orton's. Insert obligatory Kane squee here.
She's still in a mood?
Apparently.
I mean, I knew earlier today she was in a mood. I'd hoped she'd be feeling better by now.
It says, Kane must have been in as pissy a mood as me. So, yes, I'm reading it word for word.
Yeah, she texted me today that her mood was acidic, and I was like, wow. So I gave her some room, and I texted her a few hours later. Emailed her a few hours later. I was hoping she'd be feeling better. We're going to have to get to the bottom of this.
Let's get R-Truth on the case. He'll get us answers. Truth,
yes.
Get on the case. Sherlock Truth, come on. And so, no contest, Kane and Zack Ryder.
Squee.
There's the squee again. Kane, mentioned, get squeezed on the show or in any other show we do with Jackie or Lindsay on them.
Kane, I'm all alone this week.
All alone. In spirit, she's with you.
Yeah.
Then we have useless backstage segment number 3. Kofi, AJ, and Daniel Bryan. Which we found out, basically, Bryan renames his finisher the Yes Lock.
Yeah, I also liked the 3 things about this. I love how people are still chanting yes after all these weeks. WWE fans tend to be a bit fickle. They'll love something 1 week and hate it the next. So I'm impressed with the fact that they're still chanting yes for Daniel Bryan. Number 2... I'm liking the way that this whole thing is going between AJ and Daniel Bryan. It's almost kind of like, I was honestly thinking that they were going to move Daniel Bryan onto the next woman, whoever. I was thinking Eve, probably. But it seems as though Daniel Bryan has not only knocked poor little AJ on her butt, but he's going to grind the glass into her hand, as they say, and continue to make her suffer over the next few weeks. So this will be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. Decent segment, says Lindsay. The yes, got a bit excessive. Orgasm should be involved if you're going to be screaming in that match, especially if you're screaming it by yourself.
Yeah, good point.
Good point there, Lindsay. Up next, John Cena came to the ring, fired up, intense, ready for a fight.
Yeah, that's the way he comes out every week.
But he said he's ready for a fight, and he's going to bring the fight in the Extreme Rules match against Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules. You know, he put over Brock. Same old, same old. At least it had some more fire to it than, you know, the build-up with The Rock.
And it was nice to see his lip back in one piece, too.
That, too. That, too. It kind of healed up really quickly, apparently. You know, wait till Extreme Rules. I expect him to be bloody again. Just my point of view. Someone in this feud is going to have to get a new finisher. Both competitors having a fireman's carry into a drop as their signature move is going to get confusing and old. Fast. Seriously, Cena is serious. Cena is serious. He gets the crowd into it, which was nice. Cena shoots, quote-unquote, on Lesnar, and Laurinaitis in a nicely done promo. Cena continued to push his match with Brock well. Laurinaitis comes out to interrupt Cena with some bullshit fanfare. I think that's the most predictable thing on the show. Cena set the face a mystery opponent later on this evening.
Was a bit obvious as well when they introduced Lor Tensai for no good reason, and then you knew that Cena was going to have a mystery opponent. Yeah.
Dum dum dum. Yeah, they kind of gave away the mystery early on. That's WWE for you. They can blow things to the obvious person. We then had another pointless segment, R-Truth and Hornswoggle. I can't explain that one. I really, honestly, can't. There was nothing to it. It led nowhere. They did nothing.
Yeah.
It was, as Lindsay said, useless. Match number 4 on the show, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think if that's what AJ said, that the whole yes thing got obnoxious. I kind of got the feeling that if Kofi Kingston would have just stayed in that one spot and not walked away, and if he was still standing there right at this moment, Daniel Bryan would still be up in his face screaming yes. I mean, it was so obscenely obnoxious. But it kind of forecasted a Bryan win, though, too. Because they weren't going to do that and then have Daniel Bryan lose.
Well, he's the number one contender. He can't lose yet.
Yeah, you got to look strong going into your pay-per-view.
Yeah, you got to look strong. This was
and obnoxious, too, apparently.
Obnoxious, too. But yes, this was a really good match. They have, as Lindsay says, they have nice chemistry together. Also, Bryan continues to be over as a mofo with cheers and yes chants reigning supreme, as Lindsay wants to point out. Daniel Bryan is over, simply.
Wow, really?
Yeah. You didn't know?
I had no idea. I didn't notice.
You didn't know he's over?
No.
He might not be over with management, but he's over. The fans love him.
Well, you know what I'm noticing is that Daniel Bryan is kind of like a popular, in some way, version of John Cena. And that he seems to be over with the guys. I don't know if it's just me, but I've not noticed a lot of chicks cheering for him.
Besides Lindsay?
Besides, well, she appreciates Daniel Bryan. I've never heard her openly, like, yes, yes, yes for Daniel Bryan. I could be wrong, and
you might be wrong on that one. She's a big fan, as far as I know.
Okay.
He continued with the yes lock on Kofi Kingston at the match. Sheamus ran down for the save. Bryan left the ring, you know. Cena backed him up the Sheamus backed him up the ramp. Yeah. Typical, let's keep the feud going, basically.
Yeah.
After that, we had, from what I heard in the other room, Vicky Guerrero come out and say, "Excuse me."
Which, by the way, I want to just take this moment to stop and wish Vicky a happy 44th birthday. Hometown girl's birthday is today, so happy birthday, Vicky Guerrero.
Yes, happy birthday, Vicky Guerrero. And on her birthday, she wasn't made to, she wasn't able to shine that much.
No, unfortunately not. But it's okay, because she took a kick to the back of the head a few days ago, so.
Yeah, you posted that yesterday. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had Brock Lesnar versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that was... That match was not quite what I intended. I guess it's, I don't know why. I guess because it was Dolph Ziggler that he was facing, I thought we'd actually see a bit of what Bro Splay can do. But
we got
no.
Like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Really got 20 seconds, and then the match was over, and then we had a... Really? You jobbed the Ziggler to Brodus? Even if it's DQ, it's still pretty weak. Keep Brodus in the tag division, or gobbling up your current jerkers. Don't job your upper mid-carder / lower main eventers to him.
Fair enough.
That's a good point. I get the idea of the match. Could have been Swagger and would have made more sense.
It's like there was almost more physicality amongst the ladies than there was against the guys.
Pretty much, because after the match, Vicky Guerrero got chased into the ring.
Well, she got onto the apron, and both of Brodus Clay's dancers went after her. I think it was Cameron that grabbed Vicky's leg, and Vicky hung on to the ropes and kind of fell. She then kicked her, and then so she landed on the kind of a nasty spill on the back of her head, and then Naomi chased her into the ring, and then she kind of took off. And all in those shoes, in those shoes too. I'll give those girls credit.
See, she pays attention to the shoes. I have no idea what kind of shoes she was wearing, so I can't comment.
Well, they're high heels. I mean, they're really high heels. I mean, hell, I can barely walk in flats, and they're running around and dancing in high heels. It's incredible. You have a klutz, just saying.
As I compose myself a minute. Backstage segment, Eve and John Laurinaitis.
Oh, the one with Eve?
Yeah.
The one where we saw the Hoski and the boss go into a room alone. Oh, with two guys. It was David Otunga, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, what's going on there? I wonder what's going to go down there. Second week in a row, where are all the divas? Where all the divas are kept off of TV, save for Eve and AJ. Way to push the division, guys. It's nice to see you're keeping up the image with a spineless shrimp and a wannabe gold digger / man-eater / whore. And you follow this with a tribute to Chief J Strongbow. I just WTF.
Yeah, well, you know, since I have to say, she makes a very valid point. Since Beth Phoenix is our Divas champion, it may be good to have her on TV every once in a while. I mean, for God's sakes, Epico and Primo were on TV this week.
She needs to get back on Twitter and complain. That way you can get on TV.
Yeah. Well, it worked for Rosa Mendez. I mean, I was amazed she could spell enough to put that message out. So if she can do it, Beth can do it.
Autocorrect, Jackie. Autocorrect.
No, that's true.
Useless backstage segment number 5, R-Truth and Tay Long. Again, she says, useless. Yeah, I'm starting to agree with her on that one. It was kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Speaking of complaining on Twitter, up next, Primo and Epico in a non-title match against The Big Show and The Great Khali.
Yeah, this, finally, I had a match turn out the way I wanted it to. My only complaint was that the belts were not on the line. But I would have preferred it be Kane and Big Show. Just saying.
Kane and Khali as a tag team.
No, Show and Khali.
No,
oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Show and Khali. Whatever. What did I say, Kane?
Yeah, you did. You're going to be as bad as me now, dude.
You mentioned Kane, so I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah, Show and Khali, really, that's a tag team. Okay.
Well, I mean, Show and Kane were great tag teams. I mean, granted, Khali's a bit stiffer than my favorite Big Red Machine, but...
Just a bit.
Right, but I've always been a fan of the big men, so I enjoy watching... You guys, their size run over little insignificant little specks like, you know, Epico and Primo. So I enjoyed this one.
And Lindsay chimes in, nothing special, your tag team's champs get squashed, which again shows the Booker's complete dedication and caring for the division.
She makes a valid point.
She does.
She does.
And finally, our main event of the evening, John Cena versus the hand-picked mystery opponent of John Laurinaitis, Lord Tensai.
Yeah, they are... When this match first... When Tensai first came out, I honestly thought that Cena was going to get over on him because it was like, okay, yeah, you want to make Cena look weak compared to Lesnar... to build Lesnar as a heel, I just didn't know they were trying to make him look weak compared to everyone else, too. I mean, let's look at this. Last week, or the last time he was on TV, I believe he pinned Yoshitatsu. Mm-hmm. And he pinned Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So you just put Yoshitatsu and John Cena in the same route there. Now, there's nothing wrong with Yoshitatsu, but as WWE would have us believe, he's, you know, someone who's more low card. And John Cena is the company man. But now they're one and the same.
Here was my issue with this. You spent a couple weeks promo packaging Lord Tensai. You spent the first 2 weeks... 2 minute squash matches with people. The next progression would be to have competitive matches with mid card wrestlers.
Right.
And then get wins. Because in every other match he's had, the two that you've seen on TV, he's never once gone for a pin. But tonight against John Cena, he's going for pinfalls.
Right. He, after winning two matches against curtain jerkers, and never actually going for a pin, always the ref, always stopping the match, all of a sudden, he gets a win on John Cena. That's just a bit strange, I guess, is a fair way to say it.
The win makes sense, because they got to keep Tensai strong. I got that. The match itself should have never happened. You could have built this up into a match down the line. Alan made this comment on Twitter, and I agree with him. Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out on a match just like this back in 2002 when he was supposed to face, in a no advertisement, Brock Lesnar versus Steve Austin on Monday Night Raw. This has the same kind of feel to it where this match should never happen without promotion behind it. Tensai is not established enough to be that mystery man 2 weeks in to fight a main eventer. If you're building up this character, it needs more time.
Yeah, especially when half of the WWE Universe is chanting Albert or A-Train every time this guy wrestles.
Especially when next week he's going to go back to the two-minute squash match.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. That's my issue. The match should have never happened. For what it was, the match was fine. It just never should have happened.
So someone else should have been in that spot.
Yes.
Who would you have put in there?
There's a guy missing. You know, his name is The Miz.
Yeah.
That would have been a perfect spot for The Miz, because he's in Team Laurinaitis' camp, because guess what? He's the one who gave him all the power. Think logic. Miz should be the guy Laurinaitis is pushing.
Yeah. When you think back to the night of WrestleMania, yeah, he was a part of that team, but it was like he was trying to psych up the team, and they basically just blew him off and ignored him.
But he got the win. And
then I don't recall having really seen a whole lot of him since.
He beat Zack Ryder. Well, everyone's beating Zack Ryder.
Right. You say this is why I started to say we haven't seen him since. No, we have. We just haven't seen a whole lot of him. And when he did, he got a win over Zack Ryder, who for some reason since returning has been jobbing left and right to everybody.
Yes, he has. He's been jobbing to everybody. She writes, ha ha ha. Since Brock didn't come along, Cena had the job to Albert. Typical screwjob match. You had Otunga interfering while John Laurinaitis gave orders from ringside. Tensai wins after spitting green mist into Cena's eyes. A la the Great Muta and Tajiri. Nice conclusion with Cena getting medical attention and being carried to the back. Good sell for once on his part.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy with the green stuff. Ugh. But, yeah, so this is the other thing. It's kind of weird also with the storyline because it was kind of, there was kind of this period where the board of directors was getting involved a lot, and the fact that the John Laurinaitis was, quote-unquote, abusing his power was enough to get him reviewed, and basically since then he's done nothing but
abuse his power. Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did the board of directors get other jobs or something?
They took a spring vacation.
I guess so.
They don't reconvene until the summer, I guess, maybe.
It would appear that way.
It would appear that way. Overall thoughts on the show?
Yay for a Kane victory. I got to kind of agree with you on the Tensai thing. It wasn't so much that John Cena lost. It was that, you know, he's not won a match by pinfall since he started, and his first pinfall was on John Cena. I mean, yay to give a rub to a new guy, kind of a new guy, but that was just kind of weird. There were other people who deserved it more. Yay for Big Show victory. It's like, I'm happy with bits and pieces of it, but I just...
It was an average show.
Yeah, that's fair.
Lindsay graded it a C+. The show had some nice points to it, but it was pretty generic overall.
I'm going to give it a B just because the parts of it that I was happy with, I was really happy with. And
I would go with a C. It did what it's supposed to. It pushed the top two matches. I guess it got Tensai over. And
yeah, but Tensai, I don't think it's ever going to get over because 99% of the WWE universe doesn't want Tensai to get over. I don't necessarily know that they want him to go back to being Albert, but they sure do take every opportunity to remind him that's who he is.
Yeah.
They're not going to accept Lord Tensai, nor should they. That angle's kind of corny.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a lot of work when they get back to the United States to get him over somewhere. But for what the show was, it was a show. It pushed Extreme Rules, I guess, and I don't know. You couldn't really mix it. I was surprised Sheamus and Daniel Bryan were on the show a little bit. Same with Kane. But I guess they all flew in together. Everyone came together for this show, I guess, since they're on two separate tours.
Yeah, well, it was a super show.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. But I'm just a little surprised that they brought them all together. But then they're all back on the road again.
Well, I think they've been bouncing them around on this tour a lot too, because I've been monitoring the house show results, and Kane has fought Cena and Orton since starting this tour.
Yeah, he started with Raw and then went to SmackDown.
Yeah, see, he's awesome like that. But so he's bounced around, so that's probably what they're doing.
I really had to push you to say Kane was awesome, didn't I? I had to,
yeah, my arm hurts because you keep twisting it. Stop it.
I know. had to, you know, twist that arm to get to the same. Kane was awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome.
So yeah, that was Raw in a nutshell, and this is what we call the Raw post show. And since that's Raw, there's nothing really else to talk about unless you want to talk about anything while we're still on the air.
No, not really.
It was just one of those nights where, you know, it was Raw. We watched Raw. We gave you the recap. That's what this show is. You know, tomorrow night we'll be back live. Callum Wojcik will be live with Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. On the program, we will have former ECW superstar Jerry Lynn on the program.
Sweet.
He will be talking about his appearance at Extreme Reunion. By the way, Extreme Reunion people, get a better voiceover guy. That was terrible commercial they showed during Raw. It really was. They tried for a fake Joey Styles sounding guy and it didn't work. Not at all. Just saying. We also have New Jack on the program as well, so that's 9 p.m. Eastern, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. It's just another goddamn wrestling show with Brian Blotty and Jed Schaefer and the Cheap Wood paneling. They'll talk the news of the week and recap TNA Lockdown for you. Thursday night, it is 11 p.m. Eastern. It's The Rack.
The Rack.
With Jackie Fice and Lindsay Ward. She'll be back to give her full opinions on Monday Night Raw. And we will talk more news and we'll have... Well, we'll finish up last week's show. is the best way to put it. We'll finish up last week's show.
Yeah, last week we had so much stuff to talk about that we didn't get to at all. So
we'll get into a really nice discussion on Thursday night on The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. Join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway as we cover the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, Jackie, and they'll recap the week in pro wrestling. Follow Lindsay Ward on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Follow Jackie at Jackie Fice. Follow us at Mile Talk Radio. Remember to use the hashtag next week, Michael Cole is a moron. Help us get it trending worldwide.
Are they home next week?
Yes, they are home.
Good.
April 23rd, they're back home and they'll bombard us with what's trending. So let's get Michael Cole is a moron trending worldwide. So we'll be back right after that show. 3 hours. God damn. 3 hours.
Yeah, that's why this show is short, because next week's gonna be a long one.
Oh Christ. One time they did a 3 hour show, Raw show, they had Michael Cole out there trying to dance with JR. Hopefully we won't see that next week. Please, no dancing with Michael Cole. I don't want to see that. Remember, hashtag island, hashtag spankings, hashtag Tim Stein depends, and all the other hashtags. Get them trending worldwide. We want an island. So anyway, for Jackie Fice, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night live on the WTR Raw post show and during the week as well. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Wildtalkradio.com.